Today on Thinking Outside the Book, we're visiting a leaf from the Gutenberg Bible, which is called a noble fragment. Eli Boyne, a library associate at Tulane University's Howard Tilton Library Rare Books Department, has taken the leaf out of storage for a viewing.
So we're opening up the folio for a noble fragment, being a leaf of the Gutenberg Bible, which is how the leaf itself was placed inside of this enclosure that was created by Oak Knoll Press in 1921. And so it comes with a short essay in the beginning by Edward Newton,
who was a great book collector himself and scholar, right? Read the first paragraph for us.
It says, "Reader, pause a while, for you look, and it may be for the first time, upon an actual page of a Gutenberg Bible, the most precious piece of printing in the world, and admittedly the earliest, truly a noble fragment."
I love that, the whole idea of the noble fragment. We do know a lot about the statistics that surround the Gutenberg Bible. We know that there were 180.
That's right.
Some were printed on vellum, some were printed on paper. 49 survived.
That's right.
It's so sad when you think about it. 21 are still complete, all
That's
in one
right.
piece,
mm-hmm.
and 11 are in the United States. And then there are these fragments
That's right.
in a lot of places. So let's go back to the beginning. Why is it that the Gutenberg Bible is such an important book?
It's such an important book because it set off a printing revolution in Europe itself. So Gutenberg, while he's often called the inventor of movable type, that's actually not the case. Movable type existed in Asia many centuries before. During the 11th century, China was using pieces of porcelain where they would carve characters into the tops of porcelain and fire it, and then experiment with that to do their own printing. Actually, in Korea, 75 years before the Gutenberg Bible was printed, they had a book that they printed with handset metal type. And so Gutenberg was not the originator of movable type. But what is so interesting about Gutenberg and this design itself is that he was able to bring together these different elements.
And this technology created heretofore unimagined and fast-moving possibilities for the world of books.
The use of mechanical type became a way to quickly replicate texts in books. If with a manuscript, it might take 1 to 2 years to make one book. Whereas with movable type, you can have a whole team of people working on a book. So you can have the compositor who is setting the type. Mm-hmm. You have the ink person who has what are called ink balls, where he is.
Oh, I've seen those.
Yes, they kind of look like boxing gloves.
They do.
You get the ink on them. And so that person would be inking up the form, which would be the complete block of type here that would be all set together. You would have the pressman who would be pulling the hand press to be able to actually stamp the letters onto the paper. And so by mechanizing this printing process, instead of having one book in a year, you can have 300 books in a year. By being able to print these in multiples, by being able to standardize the process, standardize the type, you're not only being able to produce books more quickly, but you're also standardizing ideas, getting ideas out to more people, increasing literacy. So with that, you're able to have these different revolutions take place where you have not only the printing revolution, but you have the Reformation, you have the scientific revolution. You have the Renaissance. By being able to get information out more quickly, more widely dispersed, and have ideas exchanged in all of these different places, that is the impact of Gutenberg's press.
What would someone do if they wanted to come up and see this leaf?
You could send an email to rarebooks@tulane.edu, and we can set up an appointment if you'd like to come see it.
Thinking Outside the Book exists thanks to the generosity of the Helles Foundation.